Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Week in Gardner. And we are at Campbell Road Nursery this morning. And Phil Campbell, you couldn't have picked a better morning to have this thing. Oh, yeah. Good gracious. I don't hear Phil somewhere.
Yeah.
There we go.
We're very fortunate to have the beautiful weather. We had it when we had your party back in whenever
that was the first weekend in February.
We're just happy that the weather's like it is. We even cranked up the fire pit for just a little while just to be excited about having this cooler weather. The plants are excited to have the cooler weather because they've been pushed to the limit this year with some of the heat. But we're just glad you're here. I wanted to mention one quick...
Well, I'm glad of that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one quick thing before we get too far down the road about plants and that sort of thing.
Yeah, go ahead, and then I want you to talk about Peggy Martin.
Oh, yeah, okay. So we're just really... we have been continuing to think about and pray for and visit the people in Ashe County, up in, around Lansing, northwest of West Jefferson. They got hit really hard. And one of our dear friends, and Shane will be here by here in a little while, it's his cousin's place. If you've ever been to Lansing, it's called CJ's Market. And his cousin and his wife have the market. And they have, Jamie has this market. It has fresh meat and fresh produce at all times for the people in the area. If they don't have this market open, they have to drive. It's like a 2 hour by the time they leave home, get their groceries, and then come back. It's like a 2 hour drive back and forth and takes that much time over to Jefferson. So... CJ's Market is extremely important to the town of Lansing and that and the people in that area. They got over 6 feet of water inside the market, totally destroyed it. And we're going to take up money today for that. And we've actually got some North Carolina pottery. And for people that make a really sizable donation.
Melissa gave me an allowance.
Well, then you get
it's my weekly allowance.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. So here we go. Melissa might not want something else to have to dust.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
But Jamie Hart and his wife, Trish, are, they don't know. We visited them about a month and a half ago. They were still very disappointed because they had hoped to be open by May for the people in Lansing.
Yeah.
They had gotten word that they probably wouldn't open until sometime in July. They're actually hoping now that they will be open by the time that the storm hit, and they're going to do a big celebration that's called Take Back the Day, which will be the day of the storm. And so all we can do is try to help them. We've been helping them And we're going to continue to do that because we cannot forget these people.
No.
They are
and we have a tendency to do that, people have been through.
We do.
I mean, there's
a
rush
to out of sight, out of mind.
Help, and then we kind of forget.
Yep. And so we cannot, I mean, it's going to be generations before, it will not happen in my lifetime for this place to get back in the shape that it needs to be in for the people to have a life.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, they're doing the best they can, okay? But the people, everything just got so torn up. Their homes got torn up. Their businesses got torn up. And they're struggling to get it back. And they can't get help up there. That's like, it's very difficult. Down
well,
here,
a lot of people need help.
We have construction crews everywhere down here, right?
Yep.
Well, Jamie said he had spent all weekend pulling nails out of the ceiling. And this ceiling's like 12 feet tall. He had been on a ladder all weekend, he and his friends, pulling nails out of the ceiling so they could put new sheetrock up. And it's just, it's really been a bad situation for them. And we're praying for them, and we're taking up some more money and helping them out.
Okay. Well, that's a great idea. So that's the jar is available here for you to put your money in.
Yeah, and sizable donations.
Yeah.
Get some North Carolina pottery and... You need to come over and get some free donuts and apple fritters and cinnamon rolls and coffee and drinks and whatever.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Now, though, that extraordinary rambling rose over there.
Right.
As Rufus calls it.
Yes.
What is it specifically?
Okay. Peggy Martin is a woman down in Louisiana. And she went out after Hurricane Katrina, and she before the storm came, she had this huge garden, and she had an old rock home with roses on the side, and just a beautiful place. You can read about her online, but she went out after the storm, after the it had been weeks when the water subsided and everything kind of, she could walk out there and it wasn't anything left but muck, as you can imagine. Everything had gotten washed away. She had nothing out there left. And she finally went over next to the wall where she had some roses and things like that. And she found one green sprout. She doesn't know exactly where this came from, or it wasn't, they couldn't figure out what kind of rose it was, so they actually named it, for a while they called it the Hurricane Katrina rose, and then they named it after Peggy Martin. It is just an absolutely, it survived, I think, I'm thinking they had 6 or 8 feet, or maybe even more, of salt water on this area.
Yeah.
And so, or at least partially salt water, and so they, it had been sitting there. The water sat there for over 2 weeks, like I said, and this rose survived that, and it is just absolutely one of the best roses I've ever seen. What happened with that rose? One guy came in one day, and we had just planted it. Maybe it had been out 6 months. He ran his car right through the fence, and just hit the gas instead of the brake, I guess, and ran his car through the fence, tore the rose all to pieces.
Well, it just needed pruning.
It just needed
pruning.
Because
look at it now.
And that rose is like, I am a survivor, and I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah, that's why I call it the Rambling Rose.
Yeah it is. Yeah.
I have one, by the way, that Phil gave me, and it's just a fabulous little sweet baby.
Yeah. Yep. You just, most of us don't have enough room for it.
Rambling Rose, don't you?
That's the voice of the extraordinary Tom Campbell. And Tom and Rufus, Mark Bumgardner from Orange County with us this morning. Thanks so much for all of you to be with us. Tom, we don't really have enough room for it, do we? I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I've seen, if you go online and see pictures of it, some people just have it on an arbor and then train it just to hang down.
I guess you got to do a lot of training because you have it. This one is just going crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's climbing out toward the roadway.
It's doing everything.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah,
I love
so I'll
it.
Show you. Talking about the guy hit it and tore it up.
And I mean, salt water sitting on it for all those weeks.
Yeah, we went down to Katrina to Mississippi, and did disaster response work for the North Carolina Methodist Churches. We've seen hurricanes in North Carolina, but I got to tell you, we'd never seen anything like that before.
Right.
And of course, the folks up in our mountains are having the same kind of experience with Helene. And Phil, you're absolutely correct. Unfortunately, they're out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
We can't forget these folks.
Mm-hmm. No, we have to remember them because there are children that are just having a very difficult time. There was this young woman that was in the fire department and on the rescue squad, and she was training. She was doing really well in training, and we had been trying to help her out a little bit. And I asked Rusty, Rusty's our Christmas tree guy, and he works for the fire department and the EMS. And so when we went up the other week, I asked him, I said, Rusty, you know, how's she doing? And he's like, well, we haven't been able to find her. He said, the last time I talked with her, she was really discouraged and depressed. So I hope, we're just hoping, I mean, she was like a 17-year-old, and we're just hoping that all these people, I mean, they're the ones that are suffering so bad because they didn't have schools, they didn't have anything.
Right.
So.
Well, Mart, what's new on your front, Colonel?
Well, it's a busy time of the season. A lot of people doing a lot of soil sampling, but we've been putting in a new meadow garden along our building, and that's taking a lot of time, getting the irrigation up and operating, and getting all the plants are looking beautiful right now. Everything seems to be in bloom.
Yeah.
So it's we're having a great time.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I know you're are always busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're still doing a little bit of burning with the prescribed fire, Triangle Prescribed Burn Association. We burned 6 acres about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we've got another 15 or so wooded that we're going to try to burn later next month.
We're getting some rain, so everything works together.
It does. There. It certainly does. I know we've got a lot of wildfires going across North Carolina right now. So
they're doing the same thing, but it's not prescribed.
That's suspected that Mart's sort of a pyromaniac.
I know. Is that what the hat has to do? You're really getting into it, aren't you?
I think that's the Orange County.
It's OCNC.
NCOC, North Carolina, Orange County, or Orange County, North Carolina. Yep.
Okay. I didn't know if that had to do with it or not.
No,
what
so
are people? We only have a minute or so before break. What are people calling into the Extension Service about?
A lot of the calls are about trees seeing spots and stuff on their trees and. Trying to figure out what's
the leaves.
Yes. It's
already.
Yes. We're actually seeing a lot of stippling from thrips coming in and other insects.
What kind of trees?
Oaks.
Oaks.
Yes. Yeah. I was really surprised this early, but we're getting a lot of calls about insect damage.
Yeah. All right. Ooh. They must have a fire started over there. That smells good.
Wonderful.
Don't get carried away, Mark.
It smells like barbecue.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. Beautiful day at Campbell Road Nursery in Raleigh. Back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, Campbell Road Nursery, Tom Campbell, Rufus Edmonston, Martin Bumgardner, Phil Campbell, of course, here, and all of her employees running around. What a beautiful setup you have here throughout the year, Phil, but especially looks good today.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. You know, I'm sitting here looking at those Gerber daisies, and we grew those last year, and they were absolutely beautiful, but they're really showing off this year.
Are they like the ones that we saw at the Wood Place last
week?
Perennial?
Perennial Gerber daisies.
They're gorgeous, yeah.
So you put those in, and they'll come back every year, and they're just, I mean, I feel like they'll just get larger and larger, you know, every year with the expand across, I don't know how much they grow every year when they come back, but Lordy mercy, they're just beautiful this year.
Have you noticed lately that the big bosses come out to these remotes to check on me, apparently?
That's all right. I mean,
every one of them.
Which
lately.
One of them this?
You're behaving.
This is Josh Ellis, who's vice president for news. Josh, do you know Tom Campbell? Yeah.
We speak.
Yeah. So I was just remarking that the big bosses are coming out to remotes a lot lately, and I was just was concerned that y'all were concerned about me. No, I know. I appreciate y'all coming out.
He's behaving.
Yeah. Yeah. I do most of the time.
For the most part.
So Phil, the Gerber Daisies, we started with that. Those are extraordinary. What else do you have?
Well, we have...
Come on.
We have a little bit of everything.
Well, highlight something.
We have some... we have the elephant ears and bananas. We've got the black elephant ears as well as the green upright, and we've got the red banana, the Morelia, as well as a Bashu. And the Bashu is the one that comes back every year. So we've got those. We've got lots of Angelonia. We've got Secretia. We've got... Dichondra, we've got all kinds of what we call specialty plants, and they're grown from plugs, like rooted cuttings. A lot of the other things, like some of the begonias, some of the impatiens, some of the salvias, things like that, they're grown from seed, and they come in as a plug. So there's a little bit of difference, and there's a difference in the price, because the cutting plugs are more expensive for us, and then the seed plugs are less expensive. So we have a really good price on all our plants, I feel like. And we try to make it so everybody can have a nice flower garden, or that everybody can go in and do what they want to do around their home, like any type of landscaping and that sort of thing.
So what about bougainvillea? Is that time yet?
We got plenty of tropicals. Yep, I was over in the spring flower house. The geraniums are a little bit slim right now because my brother ran out of geraniums this year. We do have some. He just brought some this week. We've got hanging baskets. But, yes, Rufus, we've got tons of tropicals. We've got bougainvilleas. We've got mandevillas. If you need those, a lot of people like the pink mandevillas or red mandevillas for Mother's Day gifts. We've got those. We've just got tons of plants. And like I said, I believe that we have some really good prices on them. We've got people parking. We've been doing that every day. We've got people parking cars, so if you will, be kind to them.
Does that mean a lot of people are coming out here? I would say so.
We have had, I feel so blessed. We've had an overflow lot every day this week.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, isn't that nice?
Yes, it is. And I really appreciate all of our customers. I'm hearing really nice things. I got some really nice reviews. And it's nice to know that since I've been doing this since 1991, and here we are in 2025, when I didn't even know if I'd still be alive in 2025.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And, it's tough to run a business, and you've been a success.
Well, and here we are.
Here we are, Mother's Day weekend.
That's it.
If you're like me, I always kind of, what do you do for Mother's Day? I mean, what's something special you can do?
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds before break.
Come out here, and if you don't feel better after walking around Campbell Road Nursery, something bad wrong with
you.
You
could be overwhelmed.
Don't even have to buy anything. Just come out here, have some quiet time over by the fish pool.
Yeah,
or
come
something.
Sit with us.
Yeah, come on, get you a donut.
Come sit with the mayor and Carlton the doorman.
There you go.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. So we're back. Boy, that was quick. The show's going quickly this morning. Y'all better hurry up or we'll get going and you won't be able to participate. 919-860-9783. Mayor, how are you, sir? The mayor of Campbell Road, David. So, yeah. All right. Why don't we talk to Marge? Hey, Marge, what's going on?
Hey. Hey, how are y'all doing?
We couldn't be much better. My Uncle Russell, you'd say pretty good, mighty fine, sure enough, all right.
Well, I have a friend from Georgia who says, I am happier than a pig in slop. So here I am. Anyway.
You can get a mental image.
Right? I don't know.
That captures the essence of it. Anyway, what I'm calling y'all about is I'm the president of the Central Carolina Chrysanthemum Society, and we are having a big plant sale this coming week, Friday and Saturday, May 16th and 17th. It'll be at the State Farmers Market, so we'll be there from 9 to 4. These are rare and heirloom chrysanthemums. They're not the kind that you'd buy in a grocery store. They're the kind that can get anywhere from maybe even 1 inch, where they're small buttons, up to 8 to 12 inches. Wow. So they are very frequently within our club. We have people growing them that are maybe only a dozen of them left on the planet. Otherwise, these are still rare and grown by relatively few people in the United States. We propagate them. Last year, one of our members grew about 3,000 of them, propagated them at her house for us to do the sale. This year, we're trying to cut back to something a little more reasonable. We have about 2,000. We expect to sell out. We would love to have everybody come. We can tell you how it is to grow these plants, how wonderful they will look in the fall. They're fall blooming. We have a lot of mentors. We have a lot of people that do a lot to help you along to learn how to grow these. You can even grow more than one or two, obviously. We're selling them for $6 a piece, but you can get 4 for 20. You can even grow them and be within the Mum Society if you want to join. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Campbell Road Nursery because they have been such great supporters of the Central Carolina Chrysanthemum Society over the years. We used to have our sale there until we outgrew it, and they have been unceasingly kind to our club.
The Campbells are like that, including Tom. I don't know if y'all – are y'all kin or not, Tom?
No, she's part of the family with good credit.
No, man, that's
– But, you know, you make a good point. Phil does so much for so many people.
I know.
And she doesn't want any credit for it, and nobody ever says any – you know, I mean, she doesn't want a big stir about it. But you have a need – you need some help, Phil Campbell's the person you go to.
That's why she's partly why she's a great business person and just a great person. That's a good combination.
She will, for our club, she will instantly respond this year. They have been so kind. I know she gave us a gift certificate that really helps for us to not only gain membership, but for us to continue as a club. This is a gift certificate for us to make sure that we reward members that are participating for so many hours. And we just couldn't do without the kindness that they've shown us. So, again, I want to make sure we give a big shout-out to Campbell Road. But I do hope that y'all anybody who's listening can come to the Heirloom Chrysanthemum Plant Show. It'll be, again, May 16th and 17th. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the State Farmers Market.
Very good. Thank you so much for that. I have you ever called before about this? Because I don't remember y'all publicizing. I am so glad that you did. I love it when clubs call representing the various the various types of plants, and it's wonderful. I mean, we only think about mums in the fall, obviously. We go out to the state fair and see the big displays, or we buy some at our local nursery, and then we don't take care of them. But this could be a great education for all of us.
Some of us old enough to remember. Rufus is in this group, that when you were in college and you took a date to a homecoming football game, you had to have one of those great big mums you know, that you could pin on the...
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Massage for your date.
Corsage is...
I'll tell you.
Right. We call them football moms.
That's it.
Right, and actually, those are somewhat similar, certainly in size, to the ones that we grow. These are flowers that are not only multiple colors, of course, but on the same bloom, you will see multiple colors. They're not always symmetrical. They're quite exotic, some of them. We do have a number of chimeras also, the ones that will grow and actually split half and half down the middle. So you'll see half of the plant may come out pink and half of it may come out white. It is, or even a pie wedge of it. We have certain ones that we're developing. At any given time, the chrysanthemum decides.
What causes it to have different colors?
There are some plants that have genetic instability, and that particular bloom, that cultivar, is known for it.
Some of the people here have genetic instability, too. I don't want to name anybody, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they are extremely apt to give multiple colors on just some of these cultivars, but we can tell you which one. Anyway, we do have a website for more information. It's www.carolinamums.org.
All righty. Thank you so much for calling, and please call us next week if you want to remind us.
Oh, we will. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll be back. Bye-bye. From Campbell Road Nursery. Okay. Joel said, I'm alive. what a nice way to... You know, nice morning to be alive. It's really extraordinary.
It
little breeze,
a little cool.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, it's extraordinary for May. I guess this is kind of a May day.
The sun is warming things up really well.
Yeah. You got it on your back there, and I had it in my face for a little while, but it's got a little higher in the sky now, so it's much better. And I guess the gates are open. I don't know.
They are.
Okay.
So the gates are open.
So come on out, you early birds. I know you don't wake up very early on Saturdays, but everybody sleeps in.
But, you know, this is a perfect day to buy plants because Mother's Day tomorrow.
Yep.
It is, Commissioner. You got Cliff Joyner saying of the day?
Let's do it apropos of Mother's Day. Whoever is happy will make others happy also. But let me tell you the other one that I thought very, very apropos.
Oh, you're going ahead.
I'm going ahead. A mother's arms are more comforting than anyone else's.
Yeah.
How about that?
Isn't that true?
And that's so true. Now, we were talking about Phil a while ago. I thought of a little poem. True worth is in being, not seeming, in doing each day that goes by some little good, not in dreaming of great things to do by and by.
Now, Rufus is our poet laureate, too.
Now, I don't know who said that, but I remember memorized that in high school.
Oh, wow.
And, Tom, you were talking about the boutonniere, bouquet. I remember the girl that I took to a football game, first date. Her name was Joanne Swafford from Wilkesboro, North Carolina.
Was she any kin to...
She probably
John
was.
Swafford?
She probably was.
Because that's where he was from.
Yeah, she probably was. I didn't know John Swafford at that time. I don't think he was even around.
Moravian Springs, I think,
is
where he was from.
Something else to this story. I want to hear about Joanne.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Tell me more.
You remember all the women, don't you?
She was a majorette, I know that, and absolutely gorgeous. And I wonder, hello, Joanne, wherever you are.
Yeah. So, do you know where Moravian Springs is?
I certainly do, and that's where Steve and Gabriel was from, my high school wrestling coach.
Yeah. There were two guys on my suite at Sullivan Dorm my freshman year at State that were from Moravian Springs.
Yeah.
So
nice little community in Wilkes County.
All right. I'm going to talk to Matt here in a minute. If you love your garden, you know how frustrating it is to see all your hard work destroyed overnight by deer and rabbits. But don't worry, iMust Garden is here to help. iMust Garden deer and rabbit repellents are a natural, eco-friendly way to protect your plants without harming animals or the environment. Made right here in North Carolina, iMust Garden uses botanical oils and other carefully selected natural ingredients to create a formula that's both powerful and plant-friendly. It's safe for people, safe for pets, and safe for the earth. Plus, it's actually smelling pretty good. If you walk out in the garden, mint and spice-scented, a lot of options. So you won't mind spraying it all around your yard. And these repellents don't just smell good, they actually work. They're rain-resistant and long-lasting, which means less reapplying and more enjoying your outdoor space. So no matter what you're planting, iMust Garden keeps deer, rabbits, even groundhogs away without any harmful chemicals. Choose from ready-to-use sprays, cost-effective concentrates, or convenient granular formulas in a shaker jar. Whatever your gardening style, there's an iMust Garden solution that fits. And here's the best part. You don't have to go far. You'll find iMust Garden repellents at independent garden centers and hardware stores throughout the Triangle, including Durham locations of Triangle Pharmacy and Ace Hardware on 54 in Woodcroft and Homewood Nursery in Raleigh, and, of course, here at Campbell Road Nursery. iMust Garden, your local ultimate defense against garden pests.
That stuff works.
That's all I hear. It all works. Phil says it works.
Yes, it does.
Josh Logan, and a lot of people like Tom Campbell, who are smart.
So what we did,
we got to talk to Matt too.
Okay,
go ahead.
What we did, we cut some pines down this past week, and we couldn't get the electric fence back up around the garden.
So, yeah, they'd plug it first.
Well, yeah, I know. So we plugged.
Memo to self.
But we had to, the trailer was still there, and he was coming back the next day. So we took Marilyn, bless her heart, she sent me this huge bag of it to put around the nursery. So we took some of that and put it around the garden. And, seven deer came down below our house that night. But they never went in that garden that night. And fresh potatoes, fresh tomato plants, asparagus. It had the whole smorgasbord of anything any deer would want. And they never went in there.
Deer were saying, rut-row.
Darn it.
I smell something that doesn't smell real good.
Yeah.
Smells like iMust Garden to me.
Yes, right. So, Matt, how can we help you?
Taking my call. I am in a little bit of a crisis. I did not test my soil early enough, and I've got a backyard garden kind of feeds the neighborhood, and the acidity is not right, the pH, and it's measuring about 7.2, and I'm trying to get it down at least 1 point, and I've put some elemental sulfur and some peat moss and things like that and watered it in. And I was wondering, is there some kind of a spray or something that I could do to quickly turn around pH?
Okay, pH is at the elemental level. So it takes a long time. Either way, you're going from a high pH to a low pH or a low pH to a high pH. We're talking months. Okay, so don't get in too big of a hurry. A 7.1 is not too high. If you've got a lot of organic matter in your soil, you're okay. Your plants will do just fine at a 6.5 to 7.1. You're okay. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. Another question. I use fish emulsion every 2 weeks, about 2 tablespoons per 10 plants. Will that do anything to worsen the pH?
Is that too much nitrogen or?
No. The pH itself is independent of the fertilizer itself. I mean, there are some acid-based fertilizers that will bring the pH down, usually when you got fish emulsion, it's such a minor change. You're not going to affect your pH with that.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice.
Well, good luck. Keep us updated, Matt, on this.
I sent you a picture last year.
Yeah.
So you're growing produce.
So is this a community garden?
I got tired of mowing the grass, and I was like, this is
okay, well.
That's a good strategy.
That's great.
Yeah.
I have about 400 linear feet, and last year my Mosfix tomatoes did great. People were commenting about them. The restaurant finally learned about them, and I couldn't give them 30 pounds a week. But this year I focused completely on this Mosfix tomato and some Sun Gold. So I'm just trying to get it perfect. Like it last year was a blessing from God because it was just amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to also make one more comment. It's the turnaround time for the soils lab is about 2 weeks. So if you get your soil sample in and you drop it off yourself, I don't know where you live, but you can drop it at the lab and you'll have the results in a week and a half.
I went by the Troxler office this past week and got 12 bucks.
All right,
so I'm
wonderful.
Filling it this weekend. Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
Yep. All right, Matt, take her easy now. How about that? Tom, you mentioned your tomatoes are coming along nicely.
I have got tomatoes that are about the size of a silver dollar. They are doing – I'm trying some new varieties this year. I got a park swapper. I bought a plant.
Uh-huh.
And a park swapper and also the mortgage lifter.
Mortgage lifter.
What is that?
I haven't heard of that one.
A great story. This guy – started off with the German Johnson and tried to come up with a better variety of it. He kept experimenting and so forth like that. Ended up with this tomato that was so good, such a beefsteak, beautiful, sweet tomato, that his neighbors all wanted one. So he started growing seeds, and he'd sell them for $1 a plant. He had a $6,000 mortgage when he started, and he paid off his mortgage selling these tomatoes, and
wow.
He called them the mortgage lifter.
That's good.
Man.
Great story.
Yeah, that is. I got to get Craig LaHoulier on. I hadn't been in contact with him lately. I
haven't talked to him either.
Yeah.
He's still my guru.
Yeah, I know he's busy.
I keep buying his book and sending it.
Well, that's good. That's good. It is a great epic tomatoes. It's a nationwide bestseller, and he has a doctorate in chemistry.
But the plants are doing really well this year. The temperatures, and we've had enough water. One thing I wanted to ask about, because you guys know better this, do you use blood meal on your tomatoes?
Only if you want to attract coyotes.
I use tomato tone.
I've got the tomato tone. That's what we're using, and I put the Daddy Peaks raised bed garden soil in the pots that we're going to be growing. We got to get our garden in this week. We haven't even gotten it in, but the plants are, you know, we got them ready. They're ready to go.
Well, I started too late last year, so I decided I'd get in there early.
Yeah.
A friend of mine always said, if you got ripe tomatoes by July 1st, you're a gardener.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you guys, since you guys are professionals. I've got a problem with leaf tires in cannas, canna lilies.
The leaf rollers?
Yeah. Well, the tires. They tie the leaves closed.
Yeah, that's the leaf roller.
And
they roll it up.
But I don't want to use a systemic, you know, insecticide because the hummingbirds love the nectar and stuff once the flowers pop out.
Well, just unroll the leaf and go.
I just cut those leaves.
This show is just so full of practical.
Full of something.
It's no wonder so many people listen.
Phil, what would you tell him to do?
Well, what we do is just go through and cut all the leaves off that have the rollers, and pretty soon you'll get rid of them. If you just put them out, the bluebirds, they'll eat them.
Yeah.
They'll get them. There's no problem.
Rufus, you had any problems with leaf rollers?
No, I Linda has some hair roller problems this while.
Especially if you sit on them.
leaf rollers are bad for cannas, but I mean, they don't stay. They don't stay. They're kind of like Japanese beetles.
Well, I get them every year. I mean, that's just – and I just say, well, I'm not going to spray them because I don't want to kill the pollinators and stuff like that. So,
that.
Yeah, okay.
We dispose of them how? I mean, you
get them in a black. Just put them in a trash bag.
Yeah. Okay.
Get rid of them.
Yeah. When, yeah. After you cut them off.
Yep.
So I guess it's a moth, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are eggs involved somewhere.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're at Campbell Road Nursery. Come on out. It's a gorgeous day to buy a plant for mom or anybody else. We'll be back with more of the Weekend Gardener on WPTF. It's 8:56.